And yeah, I don't know, man. Just, you know.
Exactly.
Hello, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love karma. I'm just going with flowing free today. That tagline will make more sense in a minute. Hello, everyone. I am Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann has a juicy story to start off this episode. Before we get juicy, though, we have a couple little juicy tidbits. I want to do a little housekeeping because the last week we kind of came up with a tentative schedule moving forward this year. And because it is us and we are women and it's our prerogative, as Britney Spears once said, to change our minds. It might change, but moving forward, we're going to try a new little thing where we do Destin 1 week and then Chaos. So it'll be like every other week you either get Destin or Chaos, because two episodes a week was kind of frying us. So we're like, we'll go down to Chaos every other week. And then like schedule, when we were like, you know what, why don't we just do Destin and then Chaos and Destin and Chaos, especially as we are kind of sadly winding down on some Destin books. Hopefully we'll get some new ones soon, please, publishing gods. But for the time being, that is going to be kind of how we schedule it. So bear with us as we work through our new schedule. And I hope that you all enjoy it as much as we do. And we appreciate not being burnout. So thanks. Dr. Pepper sponsors. But anywho, we wouldn't be burnout if this could be our full-time job. Dr. Pepper. Sponsor us. 23 flavors.
Sponsor us.
And the new blackberry one, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm sure it's great. I would never say anything bad about you, Dr. Pepper, unless you tell me that you're like doing away with your DEI initiatives, and then I might be like, fuck you, it's off. But until then, we're friends.
I'm surprised they haven't. Who owns Dr. Pepper?
So they used to be, they're kind of like their own subsidiary. Like there is, I think, like some kind of parent company. I'm not sure, because it used to be like they were always linked with Pepsi, but they are not a Pepsi or a Coke product. They are linked with, like, I don't know, someone else. We'll have to do our research. Sometimes I'm singing their phrases. For all I know, they're someone terrible. Else. Someone else owns them. It's fine, probably. I don't know. Maybe it's best if I don't know. Y'all, Marty, I've already done away with Target, okay? I had to go buy a movie at Barnes & Noble yesterday. The struggle is real. Actually, it was delightful. Barnes & Noble is always a great time. But anywho, Michael Ann, I've prattled on long enough. You have a juicy story about karma, and I'm really excited to hear it.
Yes. First, I want to say that Keurig owns Dr. Pepper.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's a newer development. Is Keurig a good company? Who knows?
I don't want to know.
Well, I don't want to know.
Keurigs are so wasteful. It's kind of funny. So I'm going to say no, but okay, here's my story.
Okay, I'm ready.
And this isn't like,
I've seen Easter eggs, like little crumbs of this on the internet, and I'm excited to hear the whole thing.
So I'm going to take y'all back to 2020. I was working in a restaurant, and this restaurant's huge. It has like literally 300 employees. It's massive. So anyway, we all get laid off because of the pandemic. Right. And then all of the protests and Black Lives Matter stuff starts happening. And obviously, I'm all over Facebook like, fuck y'all. He started this. Okay, so I'm just bringing in a he. This man who worked with me, who's older than us, like probably like 12 years older than us.
Okay.
I think he's like, I think he's like 43. So he... which is only 10 years older than me, but anyway.
Put in your mind. The math was right in her mind.
But anyway, so he was really like, he was one of the standout servers. Everybody liked him. He was like super charismatic. Like, I didn't see this coming at all. He became like a legit white supremacist, was posting like the most racist shit on Facebook. He was getting in fights with me and the other women that we worked with, calling us cunts and all sorts of other things. And it was like so fucking crazy. And I was like, okay, well, I'm fucking done with this guy. Fuck this guy. But a bunch of people that I worked with stayed friends with him because I don't even fucking know, because they've known him for a long time. I don't know. So anyway, so I've always like kind of kept my eye on these people who kept being friends with him, because I was like, why isn't white supremacy like a deal breaker for you? You
know? Right. So it's a big note for me personally. Yeah, I thought we were all on the same page. No, okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay. But I found out yesterday that he was arrested in October for sexual relations with a 15-year-old.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Why are these things always linked? Like, if you're bad in one way, you're always bad in another way. Like, just always.
And that's pretty much what I want to say to all these people is like, okay, so you push the racism aside. You were like, you know what? I'm white, so like I can excuse it because it's casual, whatever. And now you're going to be confronted with the fact that he is a fucking pedophile. So are you going to stand by him with this too? Or is that like where the line comes in? Because
where is the line?
Where is the line for you guys? Just out of curiosity.
Just asking. When does he cross it?
Oh, man. I will be keeping tabs on his legal proceedings. Don't you worry. He is not in jail. Unfortunately, he did post bond. $50,000 his bond was.
Crazy. And they paid. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I know bail bonds are a thing, but like that's still crazy.
It was paid by his lawyer. His like lawyers on the thing. So yeah. Anyway, that was just, that's awful. But also I'm like looking at all those people that, and like, it's not even like they were just like casually friends with him and like, haha. No, some of them are like legit standing up for him, defending him, like be like saying mean shit to me, rude shit to me, defending him. And now I'm like, so
y'all want to say something now?
And it's interesting because all these people like love God, you know.
Oh, always, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess God forgives racism. Does he forgive pedophilia? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We shall soon see.
So anyway, I just need everyone in the world to know that story, basically, because he's such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And now he's like, the piece of shitness is cemented, and I hope he rots in prison for the rest of his life.
Same. Yeah, I just feel like it's one of those things where you're like, hey, y'all, like, I am seeing some red flags. I'm seeing some warning signs. And everyone's like, nah, this is not so-and-so. Like, they're good people. And you're like, no, like, I'm really seeing them. And then it always turns out that, yes, whether it be, you know, weeks later, months later, years later, like the red flags were there for a reason. Like they were just like a shitty person. Like there are no ands, ifs, or buts about it. But for some reason, it takes people a lot, and people will excuse a lot until they cannot make excuses for someone anymore. And
yeah,
that is messed up.
And it's like a big problem, I think, that, first of all, white people, we have a lot of problems, but one of them is definitely that we take racism too casually. Like,
yes,
you should not be hanging out with your friends who use the N-word and not saying anything, or hanging out with them at all personally, but like not saying anything and like just letting like the weird shit they say just like go, oh, okay, like that's just him. That's just what he's like. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you know, they're a little old-fashioned. They're just whatever. And you're like, that's just a weird, you know, Uncle So-and-so's just like that. And I'm like, we could change him. And again, like,
or we could tell him to go fuck himself. Yeah. We don't have to be his friend.
Yeah, we don't have to hang out with Uncle So-and-so. Well, I mean, obviously when you're a child, you're kind of forced into family functions. But at a certain point, you usually are old enough to get to be like, I no longer would like to attend that family function if that person's gonna be there. Or again, particularly family you're kind of stuck with, but friends, you choose, is the great thing about friendships I have found.
And friends, you decide not to be friends with those people anymore.
Find out new information about your friends and then not talk to them anymore because they are. And like, again, like I can't tell you how racist the shit he was posting on Facebook was. I'm not being dramatic.
Right. Like it wasn't even like dog whistling. It was just like straight up like racism. And people were like,
it was whatever. Yes. It was straight up like white supremacy talking points, racism, calling. I don't need to repeat what he said, but he had opinions about George Floyd and everything. Like, no, this guy's a fucking piece of shit. And I just feel like I know like you're not affected by it. So you're just kind of like, whatever. He's still my friend. But like, raise your fucking standards for friendships and, like, call your friends out and you're a grown adult. Like, this applies also to all of the men out there who are friends with a guy who's dating a fucking teenager and he's, like, in his 30s, okay? Mm-hmm. So that friend as well, you can talk to him, too.
Yeah, also dump him, like, a bad habit. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, it's so crazy to me, the things that white people could get away with, and it's especially white men.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Gosh, a good old boy, and it's like, no.
I think he's in the Klan. Yeah. So anyway, that was that story. I hope everybody enjoyed it and felt my rage.
Yeah, I was with you. I was right there with you. I thank you for sharing. One other quick little tidbit, which actually is going to kind of perfectly segue into, it's not going to segue into the book, but segue into, again, I know anytime that like we get a little political or we like prattle on a little bit, again, we're doing every other week now. Y'all, so you're going to have to bear with us being a little yappy on the Destin episodes because we have to wait a week before we do a chaos episode, okay? So we're going to try to keep it to a minimum, but sometimes when we have thoughts, we have to have them when we have them because that is how it works being a human. But with that said, again, I would just like to state that, like, I don't think of, like, everything is political. I hate when people are like, oh, I don't do politics or get politics out or whatever. Everything in life is political. Art by nature is political. There's not a single piece of art that you have ever experienced in your life that is not political in some way or another. And with that said, this is an exchange I had with the liquor store attendant yesterday. So yesterday, I get up, Mike and I are like dividing and conquering. I really wanted to buy Wicked because it came out this week and I'm a physical media girly pop. And I was like, I don't want to buy a digital, like I would like to own it, a physical copy of it. So then I'm in a conundrum of where to buy it because the only place you can like buy movies nowadays is Walmart, Target, or Amazon and no thank you. So where can I buy it? So I'm like researching into that. I'm texting Michael. So anyways, I'm like texting with Lan. I'm like, I don't even know where one buys movies now, like whatever. So anyways, I landed on Barnes & Noble. It was great. I also then got to go like smell books and look at like little knickknacks and be happy. So bought at Barnes & Noble, happy days. I was going to go to Kroger because I've been trying to shop at Kroger more because I heard that they're good people. And they have been, I have one pretty close to me. So I need to buy a couple bits and bobs from grocery stores. I'm going to Kroger. Of course, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so it's like packed, but whatever. And my husband and I decided that since it was Super Bowl Sunday, we wanted to have some Dirty Shirley's because why not live a little, you know? So I was like, yeah, I'll rent the liquor store. No biggie. Get, you know, a bottle of vodka. So I go. And again, I'm just there like everyone else trying to buy some, you know, whatever, a quick little drink for the Super Bowl. And of course, the couple in front of me is talking about the Super Bowl and they're talking to the little cashier. And I came up with like the tail end of the conversation, so I didn't hear the whole thing of it. But it was just like, you know, I just want to watch a good game. I just want to keep these politics out of stuff. And da, da, da. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay. And so whatever. And I'm like, I don't even like know what that means. But okay, you know. So they're talking. And lady's like, yeah, you know, amen. And so I walk up. They are now gone. I'm a new customer. We're not going to have the same conversation, ma'am. I don't want to have this conversation with you, actually. So I just put my little vodka on the thing. Hey, how are you doing? Say, oh, good. How are you? Give her my ID because she has to see it. Thank you. Flattered. So she takes that and then she just like carries on, like they're still standing there and she like wants to, I'm like, I like wasn't even part of this conversation, ma'am. And so she's like, you know, yeah, I just want to watch a good football game or a basketball game or go see a movie without it always having to be political.
And a so movie.
Usually I just could be like, fuck it, it's not worth it. I'm having like a, like, we're done. Like, I've already paid. Like, she's about to hand me my receipt. Like, I'm just gonna be like, okay, bye, have a great day. But I'm just like feeling feisty. Like, I'm just so over people. Like, we're, again, not even a full 2 months into this year and I'm done. And so I go, oh, I bet you hate that Trump's gonna be there then tonight. She like pauses mid receipt, just like a, I shit you not, like a deer in the headlights. Like, she didn't know how to respond to that. And I go, you know, cause you don't want the Super Bowl to be political. And she just looks at me and hands me their stand. I go, thank you so much. Have a great day. And I just walked out the store because I was like, fuck you. What you mean is you don't want certain politics. Like, you don't want them putting end racism in the end zone. You don't want people to stand up to Trump. You don't want whatever. That's what you mean. You don't mean that you don't want it to be political, because for the first time ever, a sitting president is going to be at the Super Bowl, and you're telling me that now is the year that it's not political? No, ma'am, we're not going to play that game. So I was like, oh, okay, so I guess you must hate it that he's going to be there tonight then.
I love that. I love that so much.
I was like, thank you so much. Have a great day. But yeah, she didn't know how to respond. And I was like, well, I don't work here. I'm the customer. I can say whatever the hell I want. Bye.
Yeah, there's plenty of liquor stores. You don't even have to go back if she gets mad.
Exactly.
I love that so much out here doing the Lord's work. I also want to say, speaking of the Super Bowl, speaking of politics, Kendrick Lamar's halftime show was incredible. I read a bunch of stuff today about it, the symbolism and the stories he was telling.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not for me, you know. So it's just amazing. Like, I really am. I don't listen to rap, really. I really don't listen to anything but Taylor Swift and early 2000s emo. Like, that's just, but I do listen to Kendrick sometimes with my husband, and like it's poetry. Like, it's straight up poetry. And then this whole, his whole performance, it was just like speechless. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And while Trump was there.
Yeah, which is pretty iconic. I was like, that's bold. I'm amazed he, like, got away with some of it. I think, honestly, probably because, like, they didn't know what he, like.
They didn't know.
Like, obviously, they have to, like, rehearse it and whatever. But I really don't think that the old stuffy people of the NFL, like, understood what he was doing.
No, definitely not.
So when I was watching it, I was just kind of like, oh, wow. Like, I'm amazed that he got away with this. Kudos. And also, like, kind of like you said, I was reading a lot of things today, and I'm not someone who's super familiar with Kendrick Lamar as well. I mean, I know some of his hits. Obviously, I know the whole beef with Drake because it's just fascinating, and I love him for just absolutely continuing to drag him. But I didn't realize, like, how much, like, I was like, oh, like, so makes sense now to me that him and Taylor, like, collabed before, because I didn't realize, like, how much he's into, like, weaving Easter eggs and, like all these little things, like, just how, like, clever he is with that, because I've never really, like, seen him perform before, and so I was just like, oh, like, that's, like, really fascinating to me. Like, he's just, like, a very, I don't know, just, like, he's very smart and very clever in, like, the way that he did it. I did not see on the Super Bowl stream because they cut it, but one of his backup dancers, I don't know if you read anything about this, had the Palestine Sudan flag, and they cut it from the stream, which is crazy to me. Like, we, again, act like we don't have propaganda in this country, and we do, because they cut someone holding up a GD flag from the Super Bowl halftime show. And then I got an ESPN push notification today that he was detained and they were considering charges. And I was like, this is America. Like, and someone is detained and possibly going to be charged for holding up a flag in a halftime show. Fuck off. So that's really scary. Thankfully, no charges were pressed. He seemed to have been let go and whatever. But I did not know any of that because, again, it was not on the stream. It was only because people started posting about it online. And you know, again, wow. I happened to get this ESPN push notification about it, and I was like, wow, that's wild. But yeah, so that's crazy to me that holding up a flag in this country means you could, like, get detained.
Standing, making a statement against genocide, arrested.
Yeah, arrested.
Committing genocide,
fine.
Friend of the U.S.
Yeah. So I was just like, wow, that's crazy. But yeah, I just. That just absolutely floored me because, again, we act like other countries, like, oh, China, you know, they don't state-run media and they don't let you see things. And I was like, you realize, like, none of us are immune to propaganda, right? Like,
also, I heard that they edited the stream so that it sounded like people were cheering for Trump when they were actually booing him.
Yeah, I can't like confirm or deny that because obviously I wasn't actually there in the stadium. but like,
I would assume yeah,
I saw on the feed, like it did seem like they were cheering for him. And I thought that was really weird because it was a very pro Philly like crowd for sure. It was definitely more like Eagles fans than Chiefs fans. And I just like, that's not what I think of when I think of Philadelphia is a bunch of people being Trump fans. I mean, again, the state of Pennsylvania did vote for him, I guess. And but still, like, I don't think of I think of Philly as being like a blue dot in red Pennsylvania, you know? So I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I didn't think anything of it until some videos started surfacing. And again, I guess you could say you could edit videos as well. Obviously, people could. So I can't say for certain. I'd have to obviously know someone that was there and to trust their account of it. But I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL, you know, wanting to stay in his good graces or whatever, wanting to kiss the ring, did pipe in applause. But I was just like, I don't really think that's a Philly crowd reaction. Not the Philly that I know.
Oh, my gosh. That was crazy. It was like Tron. I have no idea what you just said.
Did it just get like really robotic?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird. Yes. Okay, well, the probably sound it probably sounded like I was possessed. But yeah, I was just saying it didn't track to me having watched the feed, like the televised feed that people would be cheering for him. I was like, I don't think that seems correct, but I could be wrong.
But I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Some of the players on the field thought it would be an honor for Trump to be there to watch the biggest game of their life.
Yeah.
There were some
comments being made by some people that were not great. Travis Kelce obviously being one of them that I was disappointed in. I think Tyreek Hill said some like really wackadoo shit. I already don't like him though, so that did not surprise me that he would say some real wackadoo shit. I was like, yeah, that seems like Tyreek Hill. Some other people responded a lot better. Looking at you, Jalen Hurts, and that is why karma was on your side and you won the Super Bowl. That's what I'd like to think anyway. I saw a lot of, I obviously didn't see every single player's response to it, but the Eagles players that I saw respond to it and the Chiefs players I saw respond to it, I felt like the Eagles handled it better. I will say DeAndre Hopkins, who plays for the Chiefs, I think handled it pretty well. He was like, well, that's who people voted for.
Yes, I saw that clip. Yeah, I watched it. Somebody was like, okay, let's see how the rest of them, what the rest of them said. And he's like, well, the people voted for him. Yeah, so I guess
he'll be there. That was my favorite one. Like everyone else on the Chiefs, like did not handle it super well. Again, I did not watch like every single player respond to it. But he may have been the only Chiefs player that I was like, okay, thank you. That was a good response.
I saw somebody that was like, do you feel like you there's a lot of pressure now that the president's going to be there? And he said, I don't know who it was because I don't know sports, but he said, nope.
Yeah, no.
And that was it. And just like, that was the whole answer to the question.
Move on.
I was like, perfect.
I did also, I swear we're going to get into the book, y'all, but in lighter news, I saw, I get a lot of times on TikTok because I like do, I am a sports girly pop, I guess, that I will get sometimes like the different team social media accounts, and the Eagles randomly popped up, I think mostly because a lot of people have been talking about the Eagles, obviously they're going to the Super Bowl, and it was them like kind of in like a green room, like they're basically back in like a hotel ballroom situation, like they just done press day, which press day is like, I can't imagine, like you are just asking the most asinine questions and it's just like a stream of it. Everyone actually should be Marshawn Lynch. My favorite person ever on a press day is Marshawn Lynch, who came and answered every question was, I'm just here so I won't get fined. And they'd be like, the next question, I'm just here so I won't get fined, because they do fine you if you like don't show up for press day, you know. So anyways, and then at one point interview was like, Marshawn, are you just here so you won't get fined? He's like, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Literally my favorite press day of all time, and I was like, literally that's what I would have said if anyone asked me anything about Trump. I'd be like, I'm just here so I won't get fined. But anyways, so they were like kind of in like the hotel ballroom, like they had just finished their media, you know, insane press day, and they went around and they were like, what was the weirdest thing you were asked today? And like, honestly, this is like, it was so funny, like their responses, and like they were like cracking me up about it. Like the one guy was like, one guy wanted me to measure my hand against his. And so we basically were just kind of like grasping hands for a minute. And he's like, and that was a real personal moment I was not prepared to have.
And I was like, yeah, if that is very fair, sir, I'd be like, I don't consent to this. Like, you're a complete straight. I don't want to, like, caress your hand. But yeah, like, they were just, like, the weird things they were asked or whatever. And it was just so funny because I was like, yeah, but, like, presbyters are so weird. Like, on one hand, they're like, how do you feel? The president's going to be in attendance. And then the next person is like, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And they're like, what the fuck? I don't know. Like, I'm just here so I won't get fined. Like, I just want to play football. Like, y'all mind? Crazy. Like, that's absolutely crazy to me. But anyways, it was a delight. You know, go Birds, I guess. I'm a Lions fan, but yesterday I was an Eagles fan. And yeah, I don't know, man. Just... you know,
exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Those are my thoughts. I don't even like what a mess. I am happy to report, as someone who did watch the Super Bowl, I know obviously a lot of people were boycotting and I respect that and I understand that. And like, I don't know, don't hate me because I watched it. We had money on it. Okay. Not like actual money, but we're playing Super Bowl squares because I think Super Bowl squares and it was just, you know, whatever. I watched the whole freaking season. I wanted to see how it ended. Anywho, I will say I was happy. I'm happy to report that he was in the pre-show a little bit and then they did not show him for a second for the rest of the game. So at least I didn't have to see his horrible orange face. He did not get a lot of screen time. That was nice. You know, people like Kendrick Lamar and like Lady Gaga got more screen time than him. So happy to report that. But yes, came, we saw, we conquered, you know, whatever. Record sales sold at concerts. I don't know. That is it. Those are my thoughts on that. I guess now that we're like 18,000 years into this episode, we can talk about the book.
And we're doing 3 chapters today, everyone. So
yeah, so it's just long. I don't know. Who knows how much of that conversation you actually hear? And Mike Land may have edited it like way down because she's like, Jesus Christ, it took us 18 years to get into the chapters. Well, whatever you heard of it, I hope you enjoyed. Okay. Where did we start? 21. Chapter 21, right.
21, yeah.
21.
So it opens with Eric being like, oh my God, we got in the showcase. It's 3 weeks from this Friday at Bendo. 5 bands, all ages. He's super excited. And he's super out of breath. And Irv is like, you seriously need to work out more. which is funny. So Eric's like, clear your schedule. We're not doing anything. We're going to live, eat, and breathe our music, basically, so we can win a demo. He says, are you serious? This is our shot, our big chance. Winner gets to record a real demo with Hambone Records. That's where Truth Squad and Spinnerbait started out. Max says, hate Spinnerbait.
Hell's
hate
yeah.
Spinnerbait, baby.
Hell yeah. Another reference to us. Frame it, page 357 of Saying Anything.
Cut it out.
Every time we get a reference, it makes me really happy.
Same. Oh, here, this is where they name their band.
Kind of by accident.
He's like, this is serious, no gray area. Irv is like, why is there never a gray area with you? Everything is always brilliant or catastrophic.
And honestly, I've never related to Eric more.
I know.
Because me, I'm like, either it's the best thing ever. Like, for an optimist, I'm pretty pessimistic. Name of the song. Truly, it's either like the best thing ever. I love it to pieces. Or I'm like, it's all, we're doomed. We're all doomed. And there's no in between. But yep. Then when I'm, like, actually rational about it and I sit down and think about it later without emotions, I'm like, okay, actually, guys, it's not as bad as I thought.
We can do stuff to get this better. Yeah.
It's fine. It's going to be fine. But, yeah. I feel you, Eric.
Yeah. So, and I almost said Andrew.
And Andrew? Yeah.
Eric. Was like, I'll think about that. It is intriguing. It fits the idea of our ironic take on the songs we're doing, as well as what they did for the larger community of music. So pop, total earworms. You have to give the songwriters credit, even while acknowledging the damage they caused, not just to the integrity of the music, but society as a whole.
It's so serious.
It's so good. It's hilarious. It's wrong.
Yeah,
it's wrong. Pop music is integral Okay.
Yes.
But, okay. You know, whatever.
But I love that he feels so strongly about it. You know?
Me too.
I'll give him that.
So Irv and Eric walk away and they're like, oh, they're like such an odd pairing walking away together. Layla says, huge guy and hipster guy. They're like superheroes without the super part. So, okay. Yes, very. So she is like, okay, I gotta go. Like, my mom's gonna be at the Kiger, because she has my computer charger, so I have to be there on time. She has to, like, know I'm there on time. But right when she's about to leave, they get the news that Layla and Mac's mom is in the hospital again. Shortness of breath, started to pass out. They're going to the hospital. Also, Sarah.
I was so stressed out. Yeah, seriously. Like, the second the chapter started and the sound started, I was like, I swear to God, Sarah, we've warned you. I know you wrote this years ago.
I know you can't change it.
I know you can't change it, but I really need you to understand how much I don't want you to touch a hair or harm that woman in any way. Okay? Thank you.
Just a hair on her head. My mental health is hanging on by a thread. Yeah.
I can't have you do anything bad to Miss Chatham, Mrs. Chatham. Okay? Like, that will ruin me. Ruin me.
So Mac is like, I can't drive you to the hospital. I have to go to the pizza place and, you know, open shop and, like, take care of it, whatever. And Sydney's like, okay, I'll drive her. Even though she's going to be late, she's like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is important. I'm going to get you to the hospital because she's a good friend and we love her. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to talk about the hospital situation here because this is another, we've been kind of talking about how class is a major theme throughout this book, social status, class status. And so when they're going to the hospital, she says, which hospital? U General, way across town. She's like, it's the only place that takes our insurance. But Sydney had never been there because she goes to the Lakeview Methodist, which is closer, brand new, super fancy. And that's just another insight on how if you're poor, you're fucked.
Yep. You have to literally go further. Like, your life is literally on the line and you have to drive further because you're poor. And that's how it works. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So awesome. Love that. Okay. She.
That sound effect was really, I like that. That was good. Thank you so much for that.
I don't know how I even did that.
Will you ever be able to replicate it again? Probably not, but it was good.
Probably not. Okay. So she drops her off at the hospital, and so she's driving away from the hospital, and she passes by a city bus stop, and there's a little boy with his arm in a sling, his face solemn. What is that boy doing in this story?
I don't know. Yeah, it was weird that, like, that was mentioned, right? I also was like, is this going somewhere? It has not, at least yet. But I was
Is there, like, symbolism not understanding? Or, like...
I thought there would be some kind of connection, but then there wasn't. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's a very interesting, like, little random tid. So she is driving to Kiger. She's a full half hour late. She's like, oh my God, thinking her mom's going to be texting her. But she doesn't, because when she pulls into the Kiger lot, Ames is there.
Yeah.
Ames.
Of course. Now, I will say, before we get to the Ames of it all, that I was a little confused with Sydney on this one. She was saying, like, it was too much to text. Like, she didn't feel like she'd be able to explain herself in a text, which I understand, especially we're still kind of, like, in the infancy of smartphones, you know? I think, we have smartphones by now, right? But anyways, we're not still T9-ing. Although, put a phone in front of me right now, and I think I could T9 text. I'm just saying. It never leaves you. But, anywho, she doesn't explain all in a text, yada, yada, yada. But I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like preemptively telling your mom, hey, like, this has come up is better than, but I think she thought like, oh, it'll be better if I explain it to her face to face. But I was like, I think it's always better to warn someone and then you can fully explain yourself face to face than wait till they're already mad at you and then try to explain it. Obviously, it ends up being a moot point because it's freaking Ames and not her mom that's there. Ames, who's weaseled their way into their lives even more by moving in. But yeah, I'll let you take that away.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. I was like, she's not going to text her mom and tell her she's going to be late.
Just text her like, hey, I'm going to be late. It's her very important emergency. I'm driving my friend to the hospital because her mom's in the hospital. Like, I think she'd understand.
Yeah.
And you can like fully explain like when you get there.
Or she'd be like, ooh, Lila. She couldn't take the bus.
Yeah, I don't like her. She's poor.
She's poor. We don't associate with poors.
She's the riffraff of the community.
Straight rat, riffraff. So he is like, Sydney, you were supposed to be here 45 minutes ago. This whole scene made me so uncomfortable. Like,
yes,
I felt like I was 17 and trapped in a conversation. Like she does this so well.
Yeah.
And it's not even that long, but it's just like, you know, if you're a woman and you're reading this, you're like, I know exactly what this situation is like. So he, she's like, I had something to do. And he's like, well, Julie didn't mention that. And she's like, oh, I needed to get my friend a ride to the hospital. Like, it's none of your fucking business. She doesn't say that, but she should have. And she's like, can I have my phone charger, my computer charger, please? And he gives it to her. After he, like, kind of doesn't give it to her, you know, like, she goes to grab it and he, like, pulls it away. And he says, you know, you're putting me in a bad spot again. Your mom's done a lot for me. I don't feel right lying to her. So he's setting up what he wants to set up, which is he has something on Sydney. He's like, I'm keeping a secret for you. So you owe me something. And who knows what that's going to be. Okay. And yeah, it's like textbook, like grooming, gross behavior. But she's like, you can tell her. I don't care. Like, go ahead. Please tell her. I was going to tell her actually. Go right ahead. And he's like, no. We'll keep this as our little secret. Agreed?
Ugh. He is truly disgusting. Disgusting.
Like, she's literally like, I don't care if my mom knows that I was late. And he's like, let's just keep it a secret.
Yeah. I'm doing you a solid. And like, don't you forget it. And she's like, I don't want you to do me a solid, for Christ's sake.
She's like, you're offering me something I don't even want.
Yeah.
So then he's like, see you at dinner. So fucking gross. Jen is like, what was that all about? And she's like, just being his creepy self. And they like, kind of like, oh yeah, just him being his creepy self, like moving on. And it's like, oh my God. Like, actually, sorry, this episode's going to be long. It is what it is. I found a article that Sarah Dessen wrote for 17 magazine.
Yes. This was such a good find.
When she, around the same time of publishing this book, and it was about how when she was a teenager, there was an adult man who was trying to date her, basically. And she like went along with it because she didn't really, because you're a child, like you're a kid, you like don't really understand fully what's going on.
Right.
You're just like, ooh, boy likes me.
And it makes you like feel special. You're like, oh, like I'm like, he thinks I'm mature. He thinks I'm like, you know, worthy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like casual. Like it's just like, no big deal. Older men, I'm in high school. It is what it is. And they're just like, oh yeah, he's a creep, like, and he lives in my house, but whatever. And that's just like so sad because you're like, who's protecting this young girl?
Who? Right, exactly.
Like, what is happening here? At least she realizes he's creepy and she's not like dating him. Also, shout out to high school aged Sarah Dessen, who told that guy to get out of her life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You go, girl.
Yes, 100%. You go, girl. 100%.
All right. So then we find out that everything's fine. Their mom is okay. So she says, on my phone screen, these words remained, the don't be all okay, awaiting a response, or maybe not. All okay was a good stopping point, after all, a place to stay while I could. As long as you stretched out a moment, it couldn't end. If I didn't write back, there'd be no further conversation, good or bad. I sat there for an hour. I never wrote anything. Damn.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, she's holding something heavy with this Ames stuff, and it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. So she's on the phone with Mac later that night. He's eating potato chips because he's stressed.
Dun dun dun. I get it. I also am a stress eater. But this is crazy for him because he eats the, you know, gross crackers and two almonds and, you know, he's like a big health nut.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, things are just on my mind, like my mom in the showcase and us. So this is where he kind of expresses some concern, like, it's just, I'll take what I can get when it comes to seeing you, but this isn't great. Like, this isn't ideal. He's like, this is all Spence's fault. Like, this is crazy, which is true. And her mom is overreacting, is all I'm going to say.
Yes. Yes. 1,000%. The punishment she is getting does not fit the crime.
No. We were quiet a moment. I couldn't tell if, oh yeah. So she's on the phone. She hears somebody walk down the hall and then like slow down in front of her door. And she's like, we were quiet for a moment. I couldn't tell if whoever was in the hallway had moved on or was standing there silent on the other side of the door. A week into his stay, I'd known Ames to do both.
Yeah, which, like, that is so disturbing. Like, everything about this chapter, her interaction with him in the parking lot, where he is just being so creepy, and again, like, trying to, like, hold something over her head to be like, oh, you owe me a favor, and, like, I'll pay up on that when I want to. And then this, and the fact that we know that her door does not lock, oh, it disturbs me. It disturbs me so much, honestly. Like,
oh. Yeah, it's disturbing. She's like, I thought it was bad before, but now he's like always there. His eyes are always following you around. He's managed to like fill up the house with a lot of his stuff. They share a bathroom. That made me really upset. He's like super messy. He's just like a typical boy. He plays talk radio all day and night. Sports talk radio, I think.
That's so tracks for him, honestly. He seems like a talk radio broski.
Also, like, does anybody still say talk radio?
No. Now you'd be like, I'm listening to my podcast, or like, oh, he's like a podcast bro or whatever. You wouldn't say talk radio. But yeah,
that's love that.
Talk radio, the old, what we now would basically refer to as like listening to, I don't know, a Joe Rogan podcast or something.
Ugh. Oh my god, no, gross, don't listen to that man. Listen to Hate Spinnerbait.
Yeah, please, gosh, give us the views and the listens.
Exactly. Yeah, so she's like, he's in the house, like there's the constant drop-ins, he keeps like finding excuses to come see her in her bedroom, even if the door is closed, like he will knock. He is like not backing down. He comes in, she starts like she opens, okay, hold on. It seemed like he was always passing by my door, peering in at me, stopping to chat while leaning against the doorframe. When I started shutting it regularly, he knocked. A soft 3 raps. 1 slow, 2 fast. If I opened it, he always came inside.
Which, like, okay. Don't like that one bit.
No. So she's, like, very clearly studying, and he's like, oh, cram time, huh? And she's like, I'm doing homework, yes. She said, at this point, I would have put on my pajamas, but I'd taken to doing that at the last minute. She doesn't feel safe being around him in her pajamas.
Which is terrible. Absolutely. Which is
crazy. Yeah. he's like, I should have been more like you in high school. Could have avoided a lot of trouble. And he's like, Peyton used to say that you were really different from him and he liked it. He's like trying to use the brother thing with her, but I don't think it's not going to work like it works with his parents. Like, it's just right. not. She's like, it always made me uncomfortable when you talk to me like this about my brother, but my mom loved it. Yeah, she, and then they're talking kind of how Peyton is still talking to Ames, but he's not talking to mom. And Ames is like, oh, he just needs space. Like, he'll reach out when he's ready. And he's like, I want him to talk to you, but like, we just have to give him time. And she says, it struck me as odd since Ames was at the house constantly. He claimed to be on the job market, not that I saw him doing anything. But one of these many calls from Peyton, he reported, hadn't occurred with my mom nearby. Like, yeah, I feel like that's what I started wondering here, too. And it, like, is he actually talking to Peyton or right. is this like some like an weird
act that he's putting on? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Some like weird control thing. So she gets up with Mac on the phone and she checks the hallway and it's empty. She sees her mom in the war room and Peyton's door, Ames's door is ajar. Sydney kind of talks about how she's like hoping that she can go to this showcase. She's like, I'm going to just be really good and I'm going to like talk to her and I'll have points and all of this. And Max pretty much like, lower your expectations. Like, I do not think this is going to happen for you, basically. Right. She's like, that was the issue. I knew not to expect everything I never had. All I wanted was this thing. Even if it was a long shot, at least it gave me something to aim for during all those long afternoons at Kiger or here in my room at night, staring at my unlocked door with only my Saint Anything for welcome company.
That's just seriously so sad. Like,
it's so sad.
It's so sad. She literally, like, her mom has made her schedule to, like, she doesn't have a life. Like, there is no down, like, there's no time to breathe, to enjoy, to be a teenager. Again, half of growing up, yes, obviously is the education, but also, like, socializing is, like, what makes you the person who you are. And she has just taken all of that for her and then moved in an absolute creepy guy into the bedroom next to hers. And her room doesn't have a lot. Like, it just, the whole thing is just so, infuriating.
It is. But she's like, just think a good thought for me and step away from the chips. And she's happy because he like smiles, or she knows he smiles. He's like, I'll do it my best. So then when they hang up, she looks at the calendar where only her school and work obligations are, probably because Ames would like, who knows what Ames would do with her personal information.
Right.
So she goes and she circles the date on the calendar. She doesn't write anything down, but she's like, this is her goal. She's going to get there. This is what she's working towards.
Yeah.
Put exactly. a pin in it.
Yes. Give yourself something. And like her saying, like, she needs this thing because it's giving her some, like, it'll make all of this worth it then. And it's like, yeah, like, you need things to look forward to in life. If not, there is no point in living. And her parents just like don't seem to understand that. Don't understand. We'll never understand. Okay. So yes, chapter 22 starts off with Dad clearing his throat at dinner, where Sydney says, like, she knows her dad well enough to know, like, her mom and her know, like, well enough, like, okay, like, he's about to bring up something important, like, he wants full attention. Ames does not, and so he just keeps casually eating. So Dad, this is, like, such a dad thing, too. Like, he would be the one that would be like, so let's leave us on the job hunt. Like, what's going on? You freeloaded off us long enough. What's going on? And so Ames is like, you know, I've got a few leads. There's a potential front desk position at like this inn, and he really wants to work in hospitality. And Dad's like, you know, I've been seeing, you know, help wanted signs everywhere. Like, you know, does it have to be in hospitality? And he's like, well, I really want to stay in my field. And he's like, well, like, a paycheck's a paycheck, you know, in the meantime.
And he's like, oh, but I want to stay
in my field.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And he's like, you know, I have a feeling this is really going to happen, which earlier he's like, I don't know about my chances competitive. And then the second that her father is like, maybe like try something else then, he's like, no, I've got a good feeling about it. Which one is it, my dude? Bunch of excuses. So Cindy says the silence that followed was so awkward. She says, finally, something was shifting here. I just didn't know what it was yet. So it's kind of like, are her parents finally kind of over his antics? And that would be very beneficial to her, obviously, because he is the worst. So after dinner, she goes up to go, you know, like basically have her little like nightly little chat with Mac that she has via text message usually while he's in between deliveries and, you know, like study some more because that's all she gets to do is do homework. And of course, there he comes tapping at her door, this time under the pretense of getting a phone charger. He can't find his. And it's like, again, he just wants to get in her room. And he just goes and he does that. Like, he pops on the bed and she's like, here you go. Like, gives it to him right away. And he just sits there and like picks up a magazine and like won't leave. So Mac texts her, you know, gives her the order. She makes her guess as per usual. He's like, yep, I'll let you know. Ames is still in there being a weirdo. And he's like, what you working on? Ecology. Like, she's giving him very short answers because she doesn't want to entertain the idea of this conversation, rightfully so. And basically just then her mom comes in and she is like, you know, was about to tell her something. And she sees that Ames is there on the bed. And she's like, I thought you're supposed to be studying. And she's like, I am. And Ames tries to do like his normal, like charming act, his like normal charming routine with the mom. And is like, oh, like I'm distracting her. And you're like, blame me. And so she's like, well, you better like let her get back to it then. And again, it's kind of this like, is she sort of catching on or is she just like that much into Sydney not having a life and studying? Uncertain. But she seems to be like kind of catching on a little bit, maybe. Like, I don't think she likes the fact that he's just like chilling on her teenage daughter's bed. Like, I'm at least give her that. I know the bar is on the floor, but I'm gonna give her that one, you know? So literally on the floor. So, you know, mom kind of steps back, you know, again, it's like, oh, thanks for the charger. Like, has to, again, keep up the pretense of why he was in her bedroom. And again, he's like trying to woo mom back over. Like, I'm thinking about having some coffee. You want me to make a pot? And she's like, busy. Actually, I'm busy. And it's like, okay, she's turning down an offer from Ames. And so he's like, oh, you have to change your mind. Let me know. She says that when her mom, you know, watches him walk away and she asks her, you want this open or closed, referring to the bedroom door. And she says, you know, close. And she says, we looked at each other for a long moment. She gets it. I thought not all of it, but some finally. And so, yeah, so she says close and she mom nods and closes the door. And it's like, yes. And again, it's terrible that like, you know, basically grown man sitting on your teenage daughter's bed is what gets it for you. And it's also terrible that you were so wooed by him because of Peyton and so engrossed in Peyton's life that you missed all of this going on in your daughter's life. But now that she like doesn't have that distraction of Peyton because he won't talk to her, she's finally like, something's like a little sus. Again, she's not getting the full picture yet, but she's at least picking up on something. So we will give her that. We do a little flash forward the following afternoon at Kyger. She's there with Jen doing her normal routine because, again, she's not allowed to have a life. And our girl Layla walks in and she is upset. She's looking for Spence. They break the news to her that he is not there. She says that, you know, she like shoves the phone in their face and is like, this is what he said. He said that he was tutoring. And she says that he dumped her over the goddamn phone. And so obviously, Sydney feels for her, even though no one likes Spence. But obviously, when your friend is upset, even if it's a boy they shouldn't have been with, you are, you know, it's not the time to rub that in their face. That's a conversation for later. Right now, it's about sympathy. And so, you know, Mac is out there and she's like, you know, oh, now I understand why he didn't come in as well. Cause like he knew that Layla needed this to just be like us. Like she just needed her girlfriends. And so, you know, she's like, he's an asshole. I knew something was going on. He was suddenly so busy, not replying to my messages. So I called today and asked him flat out and he didn't even deny it. And she says, which again, I feel like so many teenage girls have said this exact same thing. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. I'm a good person. I mean, I try to be. I want you all to know from the bottom of my heart that you are. It's not you, it's them. And you're going to date a bunch of a-holes. And then one day you're going to realize that you're dating a-holes and you're going to choose a better choice. And so yeah. she's like, you know, I just want someone decent. Like, I read all these romantic books and like they have to exist, right? Like they have to be out there. And so Sydney was saying, she's like, I knew whatever I said right then, she wouldn't hear. With that kind of pain, a deafness comes, which like Sarah. Line is so good. And that so line got me. True. Like I was like that really,
yes.
That was a punch to like the gut. Honestly, that's freaking just, that's beautiful and ridiculously true. She's like, but if she had been able to listen, I would have told her she was right. Those guys were out there. In fact, one was watching us right now, somewhere nearby, keeping his distance, knowing she needed me to herself right then, but still just outside the door, which, oh, it's a little bit of like, yes, like good guys do exist. Your brother is one of them. He's a very good guy. But also that line, like, I'm just gonna read it again. I knew whatever I said right then, she wouldn't hear. With that kind of pain, a deafness comes. Fuck me up. That's so good. That's a good line.
So good. I had to stop for a minute and be like,
yeah,
holy
wow, shit. That's so right. Like, that's yeah. spot on. That's a I'm good like, line.
Whoa.
Truly.
I would like to say that in this section, Layla's song is The Prophecy by Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, yes. She really is. She's so the prophecy coded, like, in this portion mm-hmm. of the novel. Oh gosh, honestly.
Oh, that's a, yeah, spot on. So yeah, so we again flash forward to Layla saying, I don't even see why you need me. They're outside and they're like quick little 15 minutes that they get before, like after school, before Sydney has to like go off to her, you know, little Kiger tutoring job. And they're again talking about like the showcase and whatnot. And she is like really heartbroken and like really doubting herself, which again, like every woman does after a breakup, because they're like, I'm not capable of being loved because I'm not worthy of it. And it's like, that's bullshit. You actually totally are. He just wasn't the guy for you. So she's all like, you know, yeah, she's in her prophecy era right now. She's like really going through her feelings. And Eric's like, yeah, that was the plan. Like, you were supposed to be for the demo, but the people really love that song. And so like, if we want a shot, like we really need you. Like they really liked like your vibe in that song and whatnot. So she's like, you know, I didn't like sign up for anything public. And she's like, I don't want to sing about like, you know, jaded love when I'm going through this. And Eric's like, no, to sing a song about strength and fierceness in the face of heartbreak in front of a huge crowd of people. Just trust me, okay? And it's like Eric being his pretentious self, but also like I do kind of love the spin he's putting on it. Like, it is very sweet.
Yeah.
He is very, very yeah. sweet with Layla. Again, maybe that guy is right in front of your face, Layla. I know. So he literally, she's like, she didn't look convinced, but she still didn't push him away either. And when he leaned forward, kissing the top of her head, she closed her eyes. And so, of course, Mac and Sydney are like, what the hell was that? They just had a moment. Like, excuse me? And she's like, what is that? And Mac's like, I don't know, temporary insanity? Like, I don't know what was going on there. And so then, of course, Layla's like, what y'all chatting about? And Mac tries like, you know, oh, it's fine, whatever. And this is where Sydney's like, oh, like, I'm going to try to talk to my mom about going to the showcase. Like, I really want to do it. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, good luck, whatever. So she goes off to Kiger, does the tutoring thing. She goes home. She decides she wants to get her mom alone because she knows, like, that'll be the best way to go about it. Her mom happens to be making a pepper tempeh stir fry, which is not something she would usually make. And she says that she's just, like, in the mood for a change. And so Sydney's like, maybe this is a good time. Like, speaking of changes, okay, you know, segue. Thanks, Mom. So she's like, all right, yeah, like I wanted to discuss that. And she's like, okay, I'm listening. And she's like, so I know I screwed up having my friends here and Layla's boyfriend drinking. And of course her mom's like, you were drinking. And of course, Sydney in her head defends herself. And she's like, I was one sip, but all right. And of course she can't say that because right now she's like really trying to lay it on thick. Like she wants something from her mom. And she's like, yep, you know, you're right. And I was wrong. You know, but I feel like I've really like done everything that you've asked of me. And I just want this one thing, which is to go to my friend's spot in a showcase. And she's like, you know, it's a really big deal. It's an all ages show and it's early. Like it's early, 7 o'clock Friday night. I will be back, you know, blah, blah. And so her mom's like, are these the same friends who were there that night, your poor friends? And she's like, yes. She's like, oh, Sydney, I wish you would have asked about anything else. And it's like, sweet Jesus, these people are in her life and it's not going to change. Like, you're not going to be able to keep them away from her. And like, she's being open and honest with you. And like you said, like doing, like she said, doing everything that you want of her. She wants one thing. She wants one thing from 7 to 10 on a Friday night to be able to go out. So she's like, to a club with people that I know drink. And so she's like, it was just Layla's boyfriend. They're not even together anymore. Like, it's not going to be the thing. And so her mom just like, won't have it. She's like, that's not the point. You know, you're asking is a big leap. We prefer to return your privileges gradually based on how things go. And, you know, she says, like, this is kind of the same thing Max said. Like, don't shoot for the moon. Like, give, you know, I look for something little. But again, she's just like, this is the one, like, I don't want little things. Like, she's like, you can go exactly back to our regular schedule program. I will go to the Kiger Center. I will do nothing but study. Like, I want this one few hour block of like being normal. And she's like, you know, I'm hesitant to change anything. Like, you've just been doing so well. She hasn't. She is floundering. And the fact that you cannot see that, like, seriously. So she's like, you just said, like, you were in the mood for change. And she's like, for dinner, Sydney, not in your life. No, I want to keep you under lock and key always. Sarah doesn't reference them accidentally.
Lock and key, anyways, shout out.
Lock and key, shout out. Great book. She knows her chances up because she hears the garage door opening, which means either Ames or her father or potentially both of them are entering, which means like this conversation is going to be put to an end. So she's like, please, you know, like just think about it. Like, it's just not a no, not yet, please. And so she, you know, her mom says, all right. And then she, you know, helps her make the rest of her dinner. And, you know, they're like, it's a change. And she says that it didn't smell bad or good, just new, different. So we're changing dinner, but not her mother's ways yet.
Yep.
Yeah. Rough.
Oh, that's the end of the chapter.
That's it. Yeah. We're chapter 23. I was like, at least they're like mostly short. Like, a lot of, like, important things happen in these chapters, but they're, like, pretty breezy. I did pigtails today, and a girl that I work with said I looked like the Wendy's girl, and I was like, what every woman wants to hear.
Oh, like, my God.
I was like, I'm okay. Like, she meant it in, like, a nice way, but I was like, that's not, like, exactly how someone wants a compliment. I guess that's what I get for having red hair and doing pigtails. I'm not gonna lie, I was sort of inspired. Not really inspired, actually, because Chopper has, like, crazy, beautiful, long, gorgeous hair. But randomly the other night, Mike and I decided to watch her Lollapalooza, her appearance at Lollapalooza. And that was when she did her wrestling look with, like, the pigtails. And I was like, I haven't had pigtails in a long time. So I put my hair in pigtails, and then someone tells me I look at the Wendy's girl. And I was like, well, I guess I won't be doing that for a while.
Well, never mind then. Thank you.
Never mind. Never mind. I was like, I work with children. I can get away with pigtails. It'll be cute. And then I was told I was like the Wendy's girl. So, you know. Say love me. Say love me.
Oh, God. Okay, chapter 23. The first voice she hears when she gets out of the shower is Ames. He's like, Julie, got a minute? And she's like, not really. I'm kind of in the middle of something. They're like very obviously starting to get like annoyed with him.
Yes.
But he knows this. And he's like, well, I have a feeling you're not going to mind this particular interruption.
Manipulative and, piece of shit is what he is. Truly.
Truly. Yes. And like, that's what you say to somebody when you're like, I have a puppy for you to hold. Anyway. Fucking weird. So Sydney's like, I had to give the guy credit, presented with the possibility of being evicted from our house in daily life. He'd worked the only miracle he was capable of. I knew it the minute she said hello. And then he melts Peyton to her, to Sydney. He's like, Peyton.
Yeah. She's like, thanks. I know.
Like, oh my God. So everything changes. She's like so happy. She loves talking to her son, you know. They talked for a full half an hour. She asked if she could visit. He said no. Like, he still has kind of some boundaries here. And I love that. I love that.
Yes, same.
She says, later, I wondered how Ames had talked him around, what he'd said to break his stalemate. If mothers could lift cars off their babies when necessary, it made sense that a person could go even further for their own self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, or like he did nothing. Right. I don't know. Anyway, I can't with this. I have like no patience for people anymore. Anyway. So he calls at one point and she answers the phone and she's like, yeah, things are tense here. It has nothing to do with you. Mom busted me with my friends over and I was drinking and she freaked out. And he said, what? You were drinking? Sounded so surprised, outright shocked. He's like, she was like, it was just a sip. And he's like, don't get caught up in that stuff. You're way too smart. And she's like, it was a sip.
And can't stress enough.
Yeah, cannot stress enough. And she basically took everything away from me. She says, in the silence that followed, I realized that this was the closest I'd come to telling Peyton how I felt about what he'd done and how it affected all of us. Immediately, I felt I should backtrack, cover my steps. Like it was too much, too soon. But at the same time, long overdue. I opened my mouth, but then he was talking. You're right, he said. It's not fair. It sucks. I'm so sorry. Yes. I love that they have this little moment. She really needed this moment.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. I was like, yes, thank you. She's really needed to hear that.
Yes. Yes. The only one who's like saying the right thing to her and her family. She says it's all right. That's kind of how they left it. She replayed the conversation in her head again and again, getting used to how it made me feel. Like my saint anything, it was a comfort I hadn't known I needed until it was finally in my grasp. Love that. Very cute.
Yes.
So as the days passed, mom gets a little bit happier. She's like, okay, like I think I'm going to be able to get to Bendo. Like it's looking good. It's looking good. I go to school. I go to Kiger. I go to my room. Good behavior only. And the times I did have with Mac, plus the promise of more to come, were the only thing that got me through. Precious. Oh, precious. Young love.
Precious.
So a couple times, like, he calls her when the band is practicing so she can feel involved. I love that.
Also, I love that. I love that.
So thoughtful. She says she, like, obviously can't really hear anything, but, you know, it's still nice to, like, hear the music and stuff. So she's like, I could only imagine what it would be like to hear Layla sing in person. She says every time she sings, she gets the chills. So then Mac, we go to Tuesday. And she is about ready to leave Kiger and Mac texts her, just had a weird delivery. She says, this was different. He normally started with the order, daring me to guess who placed it. What was it? Large pepperoni, garlic knots. And she's like, okay. And he's like, I think it was average. That kid. Yeah. I think it was that kid, David Ibarra. And she says, I stared at this word, the letters at first not coming together. Like when you've looked at something so much, it starts to feel like a different language. Jem was by the door now pulling her backpack. And she's like, see you tomorrow. And what's her face? Sydney is like, yes, I will see you tomorrow. And so she calls Mac right away. And she's like, how did you know it was him? And she's like, I didn't at first. Like, I've actually delivered there before. He's like, it's a ranch off. And she's like, Pike Avenue. And he's like, yeah. I put it together finally today. Like, he's a nice kid. She's like, of course he was. And now, even though I'd seen him at Super Thrift with my own eyes not too long ago, he was more real to me than ever before. That's what a random connection can do. That moment when separate things suddenly come together, like fate tapping you on the shoulder so you'll pay attention. She is really thinking about David. I would not be surprised if she did not do a little knock knock on their house.
Right.
On their door.
I do feel like by the end of this book, she's going to talk to him, right? Yeah. Or like see him or I don't know. I feel like we're leading to it. Hopefully, maybe, or at least talk to her mom about it.
Yeah, she's going to get some sort of closure with this.
Yeah,
for sure. And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, was I? I couldn't say for sure. After so long just paddling along, trying to keep my head above water, I felt like the tide was turning, sweeping me along with it. She says the showcase was in 3 days. David Ibarra was now not only a face or a Yumi.com page, but a place when I could get to if I chose. She says, for so long, I've been waiting for something to happen, a change to come, now that I could sense it getting ever closer. However, it was all I could do not to step back. So she's like, whoa, this is a lot. Change coming at once. I mean, the concept, the like idea of David Ibarra like triggers her, stresses her out anyway, like by itself. So we get a little fast forward. She's like, it's time. I'm asking my mom if I can go. She goes into the war room. She's like, can we talk for a second? And her mom like immediately shuts up what she's looking at and is like, yep. And Sydney's like, I want to talk to you about Friday in the showcase. And her mom is like, has no idea what she's talking about, which is insane to me. Like,
why? And this is like a recurring theme between her and her mom. Like, she'll talk about something like the recording studio. And then like the next time she brings it up, because she's so distracted by Peyton and upset about Peyton, that she's like, what? Like, it has never happened. And like, you are just so stern and hard about her potentially thinking about doing this. And now you're acting like you don't even remember it. I'd be like, remember how you hated the idea? And now you're acting like you don't even know. Screw you, lady. Like, it's infuriating to me.
It's infuriating. So she's like, make Mac and Lila's band, like it's an all ages show. You'd say you think about it. It starts at 7. I'd be home by 10. Like, she's really pushing for it. However, her mom said, I thought we'd start a bit more slowly than a nightclub. She's like, I haven't done anything or been anywhere for weeks. And her mom's like already over this conversation. She's like, it's just not a good idea. Why don't you call Jen and Meredith, your rich friends, see if they want to do something. And like, my thing too is like, if you're so worried, go with her.
Yeah. Be like, okay, like, yeah, under the condition of I get to go with you, or, you know, whatever. And yeah. I'm sure she would have been like, okay, yeah, mom. Again, she is dying for you to know these people. She wants to include you in her world. You're the one who's too busy to do that. And then you're like mad at, like, it just, none of it makes sense. Like, I don't know them. Okay, get to know them then. Like, it's that simple.
Exactly. Put in the effort.
Yeah.
So she's basically like begging her. She's like, please say I can go. But mom is like, no, you're not going to that show. And she's like, with that, my Hail Mary, the field goal kicks that could win the game, but instead went so wide, you felt stupid for expecting anything different. She's like, I could have begged more, but there's no point. Once it's a no, it's a no. So the next day at school, she's like standing by her locker telling Mac, and she's crying because she's just like so overwhelmed by this. Layla walks up and is like, excuse me, Mac, what the hell is going on here? And he's like, she's like, it's not him. Like, it's my mom. And so she tells Layla this story and she's crying again. And Layla's like, you're crying about that? Please. I wish someone would tell me I couldn't go. Eric's already so bossy and insufferable. It's only going to get worse. Did Mac tell you that he wants us all to meditate before the show now? Which, like, of course he does.
It's
so good.
So good.
She's like, I was touched. I knew she was humoring me. Like, she's like trying to make her feel better. Yeah. So cute. She's like, that's what serious bands do before gigs. He says, like, meditate and visualize. He claims it will get us on the same mental plane in spiritual harmony before we make the actual harmony.
Yes.
I love him.
I love him so much. He is so ridiculous. He is so pretentious in the most adorable way.
Yes, I love him so much. She's like, you'll be missed, but like, don't worry about it. It's just one night. Like, there'll be others. Who cares? So the bell rings. They all separate. Mac's like, are you going to be okay? He gives her a little snuggle. She's like, yes. Layla goes, young love. Which I love, which is what we say on this show literally.
Yeah, we're saying that all the time. Layla is us.
Layla is us.
Every time we're like, oh, young love.
So she's like, so yeah, they walk away. And the close of this chapter is her saying, they were right. It was just one night, one show, but I wasn't a big crier. My emotions, so sudden and fierce, had surprised me so much, in fact, that it wasn't until later in the day that I realized the most shocking thing at all. Of all? It wasn't that it'd broken down, but that I hadn't been alone when I did so. You only really fall apart in front of the people you know can piece you back together. Mac and Layla were there for me, even if, and especially when, I couldn't do the same for them.
Yes, and that's the whole point. And that is why you can't just be like, go hang out with Jen and Meredith. Because, like, these are her people. She has found her comfort people, and that is so important. It cannot be, honestly, overstated how important it is. And for her mom to just completely take that away from her. Yeah, and like those, exactly, like when you know that you can count on someone and they're not expecting anything in return, like they're just doing it because like they're your people. Like, obviously, yes, usually it's vice versa and you can be there, but like they wouldn't be mad at her if she couldn't, like they understand like the circumstances that she's in. And of course, they're still going to be there for her. And of course, you're going to feel comfortable crying in front of those people. And again, like that is truly like a testament of true friendship and yeah, and just true, you know, whatever. Because yes, like everyone needs a person that they can just break down in front of and feel comfortable with that and not feel judged and feel that they will be in good hands. Very important. And I'm just very really important. Mad at you for taking that away from her mom and letting her live next to creepy Ames in your house. But yeah. Neither here nor there. We only have 3 more chapters. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Next episode will be our last episode of this. Yes. I mean, our last episode of this. And then then we have, 2 more, I think?
Yeah, I think 2 more currently published books, which is so wild.
It's so crazy. But we have some ideas for what we'll do after. Mm-hmm. We're thinking Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. We're thinking The Princess Diaries. Also, yeah. I've never seen Twilight, so we're going to watch Twilight. So we're going to talk about this as well.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I know. I can't wait. My friend was, like, texting me all this stuff about it because she was, like, watching it to, like, make herself feel better. And I'm like, honestly, I've never seen these movies. I have no idea what you're even talking about. Like, I read most of the books, but...
Prepare for the quotable moments that are about to come into your life.
I can't wait. That's so truly an experience. Stick with us. We still are here. We're here.
Yeah. trying to be a little bright spot. And there's some venting and some ranting. But overall, trying to be a bright spot in hopefully everyone's weeks.
Yes. Yes. We love you. Take care of yourselves.
Please
don't let the bastards get you down.
Damn straight. Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. Be well, everyone. Talk to you next week. Bye.